Okay, good morning, everybody. As we enter the new week, begin Parshas Mishpatim. Let's take a very careful look at Parshas Mishpatim in the totality, and then I would like to look at really one letter, and hopefully to shed light on a Parsha that's chock full of information and very, very important yesodos. Let's begin as follows. I think I've mentioned before the Sefer that we are learning now, Sefer Shmos, Sefer Geula, can really be divided up into three sections. And the three very, very unique, distinct events that take place in Sefer Shmos, and that is Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kabbalas HaTorah, and Binyan HaMishkan. Those are the three seminal events that take place in Sefer Shmos, and that really are concretize us as a nation and as a people. So if you take a look at the Sefer in general, so Parshas Shmos, Va'era, and Bo deal with the Exodus, deal with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Parshas Shmos is the precursor, the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu's emergence as a leader, HaKadosh Baruch Hu designating Moshe to be the one to save the Jewish people and to be the savior of the Jewish people, ultimately leads to Makos in Parshas Va'era and Bo. So the totality of those three Parshas, the opening three Parshas in Sefer Shmos, is Yetzias Mitzrayim. That is what takes place, and including Yetzias Mitzrayim, of course, is Kriyas Yamsuf. So we take a look at the Parshas, the early third of Sefer Shmos, Parshas Shmos Ve'erim Bo, really being the bondage, the subjugation, the incarceration of Klal Yisrael, the emergence of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then the Exodus. So the first three Parshas, Shmos Ve'erim Bo, are Yetzias Mitzrayim. The next three Parshas, Bishalach, Yisra, and Mishpatim, are the Parshas of Kabbalas HaTorah. Now, although typically most understand Parshas Yisro to be the Parsha of Kabbalas HaTorah, because that's where we find the Aseret HaDibros, the truth is a very careful look at Parshas Bishalach and Mishpatim, as you will see, and as we will talk about more in depth this morning, really those three Parshas are all about Kabbalas HaTorah. And that is for a few reasons. Number one, Parshas Bishalach, immediately after Kriyas Yamsuf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that your focus must be Kabbalas HaTorah. The next step, the next rung in the ladder that we're supposed to climb after the splitting of the sea is to reach Kabbalas HaTorah, number one. Number two, one of the first stops, actually the first stop after Klal Yisrael crossed the Yamsuf was none other than Mara. And it was in Mara for the first time the Jewish people were given rules, mitzvos, ases and los ases. Now it's true with the Mun, they also received some rules and regulations in terms of how to go about eating, when to eat, how to eat the Mun, etc. But in Mara we received three mitzvos, and there are differences and discrepancies in the Rishonim, which specific mitzvos we accepted. But there the Rashi tells us that in Mara we received the mitzvah of Shabbos, the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Aim, certain dinim, and there we know that Klal Yisrael began accepting the Torah. It was the first step in our acceptance of the Torah. So there was no Aseret HaDibros, it wasn't Arvos Moav, of course, but that was the beginning of the process of Kabbalas HaTorah. For the reasons that we were headed to Kabbalas HaTorah, we were headed to Har Sinai, post Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, and there already was a precursor that at that moment, at Mara, we already started becoming a nation who was a nation of observers. We were a nation of people who were accepting the Torah. We started fulfilling rules and regulations. Parshas Mishpatim, as we'll speak about this morning, is incredibly intertwined and interconnected with Kabbalas HaTorah. Let's just hold that in abeyance for a moment, and that's what we will focus on today. But after Yetzias Mitzrayim in the first three Parshas, Kabbalas HaTorah in the next three Parshas, the rest of Sefer Shmos, Parshas Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakal Pekudeh, that's five Parshas, are all dedicated to Binyan HaMishkan. So you have three Parshas dedicated to Yetzias Mitzrayim, in Shmos Va'erim Bo, three parshas dedicated to Kabbalas HaTorah, and that is Bishalach Yisra Mishpatim, and the final five parshas of Sefer Shmos dedicated to Binyan HaMishkan. So the majority of the parshas in Sefer Shmos are dedicated to Binyan HaMishkan. We'll talk about that next week, why there are so many parshas dedicated to Binyan HaMishkan. But you see, out of the 11 parshas in Sefer Shmos, the division is three for Yetzias Mitzrayim, three for Kabbalas HaTorah, and 5 for Binyan HaMishkan. So what I'd like to do this morning is really take a much closer look at Parshas Mishpatim and try to appreciate and understand the correlation and connection between Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Yisro vis-a-vis Kabbalah Sator. Because as you'll see momentarily, there's a very, very strong bond and a very, very strong connection in the Kabbalah Satora of Parshas Yisro and the Kabbalah Satora of Parshas Mishpatim. The first connection that we find, and I will share with you 4 this morning, is that the end of the parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, Perek Chav Dalet, chapter 24 of Sefer Shmos, is entirely dedicated to Kabbalah Satora. Perek Chav Dalet, the end, the last chapter of all of Parshas Mishpatim, which is a total of 18 psukim, is dedicated completely to the end, or according to other Rishonim, the beginning of the story of Kabbalah Satara. If you take a look in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, page 440, Perek Chav Dalet, the Torah tells us in Pasuk Aleph, Ve'el Moshe Omer Alei El Hashem, Atav Aaron Nodav Ve'aviyu V'shivim Mizikne Yisrael V'shtachavisa Merachok. Moshe is told by God to ascend, to climb him, Aaron, Aaron's 2 sons, Nodav Ve'aviyu, the 70 elders, and should bow down from afar. Now, when does this take place? What is this talking about? Moshe is told to climb up the mountain. This is talking about Har Sinai and to bow down from afar. Now, of course, as you continue to read the psukim, it's at that point that Klal Yisrael say Naaseh, and only several psukim later do Klal Yisrael say Naaseh v'nishma. So here, the famous exclamation of Naaseh v'nishma takes place in Parshat Mishpatim and not in Parshat Yisro. So here is a Kabbalah Satora, an acceptance of the Torah, and those words that ring in our ears and that change world history forever don't take place in Parshas Yisro, but actually take place in Parshas Mishpatim. And therefore, it's a machlokes, the Ramban and Rashi, when Perek Chav Dalet took place. Did Perek Chav Dalet take place before Parshas Yisro? Before Kabbalah Satora? Before the Aseres Hadibros? Or after? So if you're following the chronology of the Torah, as the Ramban always does, the Ramban says this takes place after. Kabbalah Satora is in Parshas Yisro. This takes place immediately after. After Klal Yisrael accepted the Aseres Hadibros. After Klal Yisrael said they were prepared to listen, to Naaseh, to do what they had to do. Then came the rules, the laws of all of Parshas Mishpatim, which we'll review in a little bit, these 3 chapters, the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. And then comes Perek Chav Dalet. Moshe is told to climb up the mountain again. And again, Klal Yisrael say Naaseh v'nishma. So the Ramban takes the position that this all happens in chronological order. Parshas Yisro, Kabbalah Satora, Aseres Hadibros, Parshas Mishpatim, the rules, the laws, the civil law, the capital punishment, torts, and the like. And then Perek Chav Dalet, the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Moshe is told to climb up the mountain again. Moshe climbs up the mountain. There is a concretization of everything that takes place in Parshas Yisro. Klal Yisrael accept the Torah, lock, stock, and barrel, Naaseh, and then Naaseh v'nishma. There's Karbanos. There's a sprinkling of blood. There's an offering of Karbanos. And Parshas Mishpatim concludes with all that takes place in Perek Chav Dalet. That is the totality of Parshas Mishpatim, and that's the position of the Ramban. However, Rashi famously argues on the position of the Ramban, and Rashi understands that Perek Chav Dalet, chapter 24 in Parshas Mishpatim, really takes place prior to Kabbalah Satora. And as Rashi always invokes the principle of a new, explains that this is exactly what happens here as well. The Perek that we were just discussing, Perek Chav Dalet, chapter 24 of Sefer Shmos, Vel Moshe Amar Alei, that takes place prior to the Aseres Hadibros. And really, we are out of order. The chronology of the Torah is incorrect. And chapter 24 takes place prior to Har Sinai, prior to Matan Torah. And that's the reason why Naaseh v'nishma is found in Parshas Mishpatim, because it really takes place prior to the Aseres Hadibros taking place. Klal Yisrael exclaim Naaseh v'nishma immediately before, as soon as they know that God is prepared to give the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. They say, we're willing, we're ready, we will do, and we will listen. And then ultimately come the Aseres Hadibros. So here we see very clearly, Parshios Yisro and Mishpatim are tied at the hip. And there is a Kabbalah Satora and the acceptance of the Aseres Hadibros take place in Parshas Yisro, and the concretization and the conclusion of the acceptance or the introduction of the Aseres Hadibros takes place in Parshas Mishpatim. Now, along with that, you see that there are 2 bookends here. Parshas Yisro is Aseres Adibros, and the end of Parshas Mishpatim is Kabbalah Satorah. And in between, sandwiched in between Kabbalah Satorah, Aseres Adibros, and the end of Parshas Mishpatim are all of the rules or the ordinances, all of the halachas that take place, which we will discuss as well. So here you see very, very clearly that Parshas Yisro and Mishpatim are very, very, very much connected. But there is an even deeper connection which will begin to explain why we need Parshas Yisro and Mishpatim and why these two Parshas are so critical and so important that they are connected. And that is the first letter that I mentioned moments ago that the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim begins with, and that's the Vav. The Torah starts on page 416 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, Ve'eile HaMishpatim. And these are the ordinances. And of course, that's not a classical way to start a sentence, not the classical way to start a parsha, and not the classical way to start a perek. You don't start a perek, and these are the rules, and these are the ordinances. And is a conjunction. It's connecting something from the previous verse to the current plasuk where we find ourselves in. But Parshas Mishpatim is a brand new parsha. So how could you say Ve'eila HaMishpatim and these are the ordinances? So Rashi notes famously that the word Eila, these, pasal es harishonim. The word Eila always cancels out and always stops and a conclusion of what occurred before. And Eila is a new beginning, right? Anytime in Tanakh, all of the Tanakh experts here who finished Tanakh, you know the word Eile always introduces a new beginning. It's a new set of rules, a new time period, a new king, it's a new prophet, a new prophetesses, a new shofet. Eile is always a beginning. Ve'eile, says Rashi, Mosif al Rishonim. When you see Ve'eile and these, this word and comes to teach and we are coming to include and to continue with something else. So Rashi already is hinting to us that Parshios Yisro Mishpatim are very much connected because of this letter Vav, which we know in grammar is referred to as the Vav HaChibur, the Vav that connects. So what's the connection? And what is the Vav of the Eile HaMishpatim coming to connect to Parshios Yisro? So Rashi says, Maharishon Misinai Af Eilu Misinai. Just like the Aseres Adibros in Parshas Yisro are Sinaitic, just like the Aseres Adibros, the Ten Commandments, are from Har Sinai, Matan Torah, as we understand it, so too all of the rules that we will begin to go through, all the mitzvos, all the assays, all the los assays, that we will begin to describe and we will begin to teach, are also from Har Sinai, are also from Matan Torah. Now, what exactly is the significance of this Rashi? And what does Rashi tell me? These are also from Sinai. Are not all of the Tariag mitzvos from Sinai? All 613 mitzvos are from Sinai. What's unique about Parshas Mishpatim specifically that Rashi has to come in to tell us that these are also from Sinai? All of the mitzvos, all of the rules, all of the mitzvos asay, all the mitzvos los asay, all the positive and all the negative commandments, all are from Har Sinai. What's unique about Parshas Mishpatim? What Rashi is expressing, as many, many Mefarshi Rashi point out, is that if you take a look in Parshas Mishpatim, and we will see the rules and the laws, the mitzvos, the assays and the los assays of Parshas Mishpatim, is all about the halachas of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, interpersonal law, damages, torts, guardsmen, how to treat other people. Therefore, what Rashi is coming to stress that we couldn't stop with Parshas Yisro and just Kabbalah Satorah. As we pointed out last week, there are five mitzvos ben adam l'chavero, five mitzvos ben adam l'makom, and the aseres adibros. But we're now going to come to stress even other mitzvos, other positive and negative commandments, that those two are just as critical, just as important. As I noted last week, the five dibros and the second section, the lo sirtzach, lo signov, lo sana berecha et shaka, were written larger, as the Mabit points out. So now Parshas Mishpatim comes not only to teach halachas that are continuation of Matan Torah, but they're a continuation and a very strong correlation. Because the mitzvos ben adam l'chavero, the interpersonal law, is something that we need to get from the beginning, from the get-go. And therefore, there is no conclusion of Parshas Yisro. There is no finishing line in Parshas Yisro until we include all of Parshas Mishpatim, all of the rules of interpersonal law, all the rules of judges and bondsmen and guards, and what happens if you dig a pit and somebody falls into a pit and you don't return something, all of the rules of interest and the halachas of lending and borrowing and etc., as we are familiar with in Parshas Mishpatim, need to be connected to Parshas Yisro to express and to articulate the importance of these rules, because unfortunately, it's not enough. And we need to continuously place a very strong banner, and we need to continually raise the banner of the mitzvos bein adam l'chaver, because the mitzvos bein adam l'makom get an enormous stress. And we have to understand that the equation of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzitzicha Meretz Mitzrayim Bebeis Avadim Lo Yiyah Lecha Elohim Acher Mal Panai Shabbos and Kibud Avim, and not to swear falsely in the name of God, are just as important as not digging a pit in the public domain and not allowing somebody to trip, and just as important as not charging another Jew interest, and just as important as lending somebody money who needs money, and just as important as treating somebody well and looking after people, as the Torah concludes Parshas Mishpatim with the rules of how to deal with somebody who's a widow or somebody who's an orphan, treating people carefully, cautiously, and treating people with respect. And therefore the Vav, the Ve'ele HaMishpatim, comes to make this very strong connection, correlation, that Parshas Yisro doesn't end. Kabbalah Satar doesn't come to a completion until Parshas Mishpatim, the halachas and the rules, are spoken out, are articulated, and exclaimed in no uncertain terms. And it's for that reason that all of Parshas Mishpatim concludes with Nasa V'Nishma. The Nasa V'Nishma, the acceptance of everything that God is teaching Moshe and Moshe is giving to Bnei Israel, includes all of Parshas Mishpatim. So therefore, even according to Rashi, who understood that that Parsha, Perek of Dalet, takes place prior to Kabbalah Satorah, prior to Aseres Adibros, it's Dafka placed at the end of Parshas Mishpatim to teach us that without Parshas Mishpatim, there is no completion to Kabbalah Satorah. And thus, Bishalach, Yisro Mishpatim, these three Parshas are part of the acceptance of Torah, part of the Kabbalah Satorah. And we can't just look at the acceptance of Torah as the Aseres Adibros alone in Parshas Yisro, but Parshas Mishpatim concludes and continues and makes sure that the halachos, the mitzvos, the aseis, and the los aseis don't come to an end just yet. But that's not it. It's even deeper than that. And I believe there's another very, very strong correlation that really piggybacks upon Rashi's position. Take a look. What's the first set of psukim and halachos that we discuss in Parshas Mishpatim? If you take a look, Perek Beis, chapter 21, Perek Chaval of Pasuk Beis, page 416, Ki Sikne Eved Ivri, when you purchase a Jewish slave. Now here the halacha is a Jew who doesn't have money, or a Jew who sold into slavery because he doesn't have money, or a Jew who committed a crime and therefore needs a way to pay back doing something inappropriate because he doesn't have the finances in order to pay for something that he did wrong. So there's a rule in the halacha of Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But there's something fascinating which takes place at the end of the parsha of the Eved Ivri, and it's on page 418, Pasuk Vav. V'higishu Adonav el Elohim, v'higishu el Adelas ola mezuzah, v'ratza Adonav es oznam bar matzeh v'avado le'ola. If the Jewish slave was permitted to go free after 6 years, working for 6 years, he goes free in the seventh year, he says, I want to stay longer. I'm okay with you. I'm okay with my master. Things are going well. I want to stay longer. So Allah is, you pierce the Eved Ivri's ear in the door, in the doorpost, and that is what takes place. And Rashi again asks the question, why the ear? What's so unique about piercing the ear of the Eved Ivri? If you take a look in Rashi, page 418 in the first column, Rashi asks, Ma ra ozen lihiratza mikol shar evarim shebaguf? Why is it that the ear is pierced? What's unique about the ear of all of the organs in the human body that is pierced if the Eved Ivri, if the Jewish slave, wants to stay longer? So Rashi says, Am Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ozen zos, Sheshama al Har Sinai, Lo Signov, this ear, which heard on Mount Sinai, don't steal, And what did this slave do? V'holach, v'ganav. He went and he stole. Tiratza. He's going to have his ear pierced. V'im mocher atzmo. And let's say he wasn't somebody who stole. Let's say he sells himself into slavery because he needs the financial help. He needs to make a living. V'mocher atzmo. Let's say this slave sells himself. Why do we pierce the ear? So Rashi says, Ozen Shasham al Har Sinai, this ear that heard on Mount Sinai, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, that the Jewish people should be servants to God. V'halach v'kadon adon la'atzmo tiratza, he went and created another master for himself, thus the ear has to be pierced. What Rashi is teaching us is that what took place at Matan Torah was Naseh v'nishma. We heard something. Not only did we say we will do, but we will hear. And we didn't just hear, we listened with both ears, and it wasn't supposed to go in one ear and out the other ear. Because Naseh v'nishma means I hear, I understand, and I will execute. But this individual didn't really hear. Because this individual was at Har Sinai. He heard God say, Kili avadim b'nei Yisrael avadim v'lo avadai. He heard God say, Lo signov. And what did this slave do? He went and stole. He went and he sold himself. So he didn't really hear. So what emerges is that the punishment of this Eved Ivri is that while he was certainly was physically at Matan Torah, he certainly heard the Aseres Edibros. He didn't understand them and he didn't inculcate them. And therefore, when something goes in one ear and out the other ear, Rashi stresses that is the organ that's going to be pierced and it's somewhat of a punishment. It's true. You want to stay longer? The Torah teaches us you could stay longer. There are rules how a Eved could stay longer. Even after 6 years when he's allowed to go free, the Eved can say, I want to stay longer. You bring him next to the doorpost and he has his ear pierced. But why the ear? So Rashi tells us why the ear. Because you were just at Matan Torah. And didn't you hear what I said? Lo signo v'halach v'ganav. Didn't you hear that I am your master and you can't make for yourself another master? And you did that, you didn't hear, you didn't understand? And therefore we see a very strong correlation, a second strong correlation between Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Yisro. And that is that occurred at Matan Torah was Naaseh v'nishma. There has to be a sense of hearing, and this Eved didn't hear. But it's even deeper than that. Because what's the first word in all of Parshas Yisro? The first word, Vayishma Yisro. And Yisro heard. And therefore we know and we understand that Yisro didn't just hear, but Yisro understood. The definition of Vayishma Yisro, that Yisro heard, is not that Yisro heard. What did Yisro hear? Rashi says, Mashmua Shama Uba. Rashi asks in the beginning of Yisro, what did Yisro hear that he came? So the Torah tells us, you know what he heard? He heard about Matan Torah. He heard about Kriyas Yamsov. He heard about Yitzias Mitzrayim. He heard about the Jewish people. But didn't everybody hear what Yisro heard? Didn't everybody know? It was world news. Everybody understood that the Jewish people left Egypt. They were sold into slavery and they were in bondage for upwards of 200 years. And miraculously, there were 10 makos, plagues that took place. Everybody was talking about it. Egypt was the world power. And then God took them out of Egypt miraculously. Makos Bechoros, the sea split. Everybody knew and understood what happened. It was the front page of every single newspaper, everywhere. Everybody knew about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Nobody denied Kriyas Yamsov. But Vayishma Yisro means Yisro heard something and understood something that nobody else did. Because just like Yisro, everybody heard. And just like this Eved Ivri, everybody was at Matan Torah. But not everybody understood. And thus the correlation between Parshas Yisro Mishpatim is not just in terms of the Kabbalah Satorah, but it's in terms of the Naaseh v'nishma, the Ozen Sheshama, Vayishma Yisro. The parshios of Yisro Mishpatim are connected vis-a-vis the ability to hear. And it all begins with Yisro. Yisro was the ultimate listener. Yisro was the ultimate person who understood people, who understood signs, he understood when God was talking, and understood clearly that there's something happening. He heard, he understood, and he executed. He went and did something. And ultimately, it's his daughter who marries Moshe, and ultimately, his son-in-law is Moshe Rabbeinu, and ultimately, he will be the individual who encourages Moshe to set up a whole different structure in terms of how to judge the people. Because Yisro was a listener, and that is another correlation between Parshas Yisro and Mishpatim. If you want to accept the Torah, if there's going to be a Kabbalah Satorah, if there's going to be an acceptance of the Torah, it can only be through hearing, through listening, through Vayishma Yisro, Naseh V'nishma, Ozen Sheshama. But there's a third correlation. And this is a point that the Ramban Nachmanides makes at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, as well as the Sforno makes this point as well. The Ve'ela, there's another connection between Parshas Yisro Mishpatim. What's the last? The final of all of the Aseres Adibros. The tenth and concluding one, Lo Sachmod. Lo Sachmod means not to covet, not to desire, not to look at somebody else's things and say, I want that, or I need that, or I can have that, or why don't I have that? The Vilna Gaon says number 10 is inclusive of all of the Dibros. It's the most important, because if you're missing that, and you're always desirous, you always have lust, you always have interest in what belongs to somebody else, you'll never be satisfied, you'll never be happy, you'll never be able to fulfill the word of God, and you'll never be able to connect with other people because you're so self-absorbed and self-centered, it's impossible. And therefore, the final of the Aseres Adibros, 10, numero 10, is Lo Sachmo, not to covet, not to desire, not to look and hope that somebody else should have, you should have something that somebody else doesn't. The Ibn Ezra famously comments that this is so difficult, so complicated, and so challenging. How could God even command us not to desire? God could command us not to steal. God could command us not to kidnap. God could command us to believe in Him. God could command us to keep Shabbos. God could command us to honor our father and mother. God could command us not to believe in other gods and not to worship Avodah Zarah. But when it comes to sachmod, chemda, desire, lust, those are very, very emotional. And those are not practical. Those are not with our hands and our feet, with our eyes and our nose. How could God command us not to covet and not to desire? See, Ibn Ezra says you need to retrain our brain and understand that whatever God gives us, we need to understand that it's only for us. And whatever another person has is only for him or for her. And if we understand that cognitively, mentally, then we'll be able to overcome our heart's desire. But explain the Sforno and explain the Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim that the juxtaposition of the final of the Aseres Adibros is correlated to Parshas Mishpatim. Because what's Parshas Mishpatim about? All about other people's property. And it all boils down to what other people have and caring about another person's property and making sure my property doesn't damage somebody else's property. All the rules of torts and all the rules of damages and all the rules of property and all the rules of neighbors and all the rules of communal structures and all the rules of borrowing and lending and all of the rules that take place with other people, connecting to other people, are found in Parshas Mishpatim and explains this for now. That's why Parshas Yisro Mishpatim have the Vav, the Ve'ela. Because if you want to figure out how to really, really not desire, how to really not to covet, and how to really fulfill and to live the 10th of the Aseres Adibros Lo Sachmod, it's time to learn Parshas Mishpatim. And if you understand the rules and the law and the order, and if you understand what takes place and all of the judgments and all the judges and all the rules of Beis Din and all the rules of property, and you understand and you appreciate that the Torah dedicates hundreds of psukim in Parshas Mishpatim in terms of understanding employment law and in terms of understanding the laws of borrowing and in terms of understanding criminal law and in terms of understanding civil law and in terms of understanding all forms of damage, if you're able to learn those halachas, the mitzvos, the aseis, and the losaseis in Parshas Mishpatim, then you'll be able to fulfill the final of all the Ten Commandments, possibly the hardest and most difficult and most inclusive of all of the Aseres Adibros, and that is Lo Sachmod. Thus, we have three very strong correlations and connections between Parshas Yisro and Mishpatim. Rashi, Ve'ela HaMishpatim, Ma'elu Misinai, Af'elu Misinai, the first Rashi in Parshas Mishpatim, that the Vav is coming to connect Parshas Yisro Mishpatim in terms of the importance and the heightened importance of Bein Adam L'Makom, Bein Adam L'Chavero. The second correlation, Shmia, listening, understanding how to be a listener, what listening is all about, Vayishma Yisro, Nase V'Nishma, Ozen Shesham Al Har Sinai. And the third and final, as we pointed out now from the Sforna and the Ramban, the connection between Losach Mod, coveting, desiring, and everything in Parshas Mishpatim that comes to teach us how to make sure to care about other people's property. But I believe that there's a common theme and a common denominator that runs through each of these three reasons. And that is that each of these three really, really stress the very same thing. And it's all about interpersonal law. Because Rashi points out, Ma'elu Misinoi Af Elu Misinai. And Shmia, listening, means I understand you. And I understand what you're saying, and I understand what you want, even though you're not saying it, or even though you're saying something else. A person could say something that has nothing to do with what they really mean, but if you understand and you hear what they're saying, you'll understand that it's something completely different. And that's the key of being a listener. That's what Yisro was able to do. Everybody heard what happened, and everybody understood that God was speaking to the Jewish people, but only Yisro came to join the Jewish people. And it's not just true in our relationship with God, it's true in our relationship with people. Because often people are telling us things, family, friends, etc., and really they're saying something that they're not saying, or they're not saying something that they want to say. And Shmia, listening, means that I understand what you are saying may not be exactly what you're articulating, or what you're not saying really is what you want to say. And therefore, the key success in becoming an expert in the area of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is the ability to listen and to hear. And the same thing is true with the Ramban and the Sforno say regarding the lav of Lo Sachmod. Chemda, desire, lust, is only if you're able to appreciate what another person is and who another human being is. And they have what they have, and I respect that, and I'm happy for them. And I have what I have, and that's meant for me. And if I'm able to understand and appreciate that I have been given what I need, and they have been given what they need, there'll never be any interpersonal challenges, and there will never be any fights, and there'll never be any going to Beis Din, and there'll never be any challenges and discrepancies and difficulties and upheavals. And of course, easier said than done. And I'm making it sound much easier than it really is. But this is what the Ramban and Rashi are teaching us. If you study Parshas Mishpatim, and you understand the rules and the regulations and the policies, and the do's and the don'ts and the cans and can'ts, then you appreciate, understand that the Torah is giving you what you need exactly, and the other person what they need exactly. And that is the ultimate Kabbalah Satorah, and that's the ultimate fulfillment of the Lav of Lo Sachmar. So here you have these very three strong correlations and connections between the Nasa, the Nasa V'Nishma, the Aseis and the Los Aseis, the Do's and the Don'ts, the Ve'ela, Ma'elu Mosif, Af'elu Mosif, this correlation and connection between Parshias Yisro Mishpatim. But if you take a look now, step by step and stage by stage, you'll see that really the entire parsha is all about Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, is all about interpersonal law. And I want to start again to look at the Eved Ivri. And every time one reads about the Eved Ivri, the question comes, how can it be? Is it really true that Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, would take a slave? Is that right? Is that appropriate? We all know about the slave generations and what took place in our history, in American history, what the slaves looked like and the way it was, the way a slave was treated. And we ask and we wonder, how could it be that the Torah has rules and laws and condones slavery? But the answer is, the slavery of the Torah and the way that a slave was treated was so good that that's the reason that the pasuk that we began with earlier, the slave wants to stay. The slave says, Ahavtias Adoni, I love my master. Es ishti ves banai lo eitzich, I don't want to leave. The way that a slave was treated, biblically, the way that the Torah describes, and the Gemara in the end of the first chapter of Maseches Kiddushin, and the way that the Rambam in Hilchos Avadim articulates and spells out the halachas of how an Eved is treated was so good that the Eved wouldn't want to leave. The Gemara tells us, the Rambam paskins, that if you only have one pillow, you know who gets the pillow? The Eved gets the pillow. If you only have a drink or if you only have food, who gets the food? Who gets the drink? The Eved gets the drink. It's such a good setup and it's got such a good situation. And the Eved is treated with such dignity and respect. Yes, he works hard. Of course he works hard, just like me and you work hard for our boss, for our employer. But the slavery of the Torah was more like a boss, an employee-employer situation, than it was the slavery that we're familiar with in American history. And therefore, again, the Torah begins Parshas Mishpatim. And here you're dealing with an adon, a master, somebody who was wealthy, somebody who's aristocratic, somebody had the financial wherewithal to hire another human being to work for him and for her. And nonetheless, it's this great aristocrat, it's this great individual who has all of the resources to hire somebody who's down and out, who has to sell himself into slavery, or sell himself because he stole something. That this very, very noble individual has to teach this very, quote-unquote, lowly person with great dignity and respect, so much so that the Gemara tells us, kola kone eved la'atzmo, kone adon la'atzmo. Anybody who purchases a slave, it's as if they've purchased a master over themselves. Because the rules, the halachas, the requirement of how I'm supposed to treat my Eved is so strict and is so stringent that therefore it's as if I bought a boss for myself. I've purchased an adon la'atzmo. And the same thing is true with an Eved Ivri. And in the next parsha that we read, Pasuk Vav on page 418, if I purchase a Bito, if I purchase an Ama Ivriya, a Jewish maidservant, she also receives the very same respect, dignity that an Eved is given. And she also may not want to leave. I have to treat her correctly. And if I take another such woman, I have to still treat the first one with even greater respect. And I have to make sure not to take away from her she'er, ksus, and ona. And she also needs to be treated with dignity, with respect, with kavod, with honor. And therefore, Parshas Mishpatim begins stressing the dignity and the honor of a human being. And it concludes, the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the rules, the halachas of how to treat somebody who's alone, a almana and a yasom, also with great dignity and great respect, with great kavod and with great honor. And thus Parshas Mishpatim, the book ends. The beginning is Kabbalah Sator, the end of is Kabbalah Sator. And the middle section of Parshas Mishpatim deals continuously with how to teach other human beings. I'll just conclude by sharing with you on page 420 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, if you see the continuation, right after the Parsha of the Eved Ivri, right after the Parsha of the Ama Ivriya, the same set of halachas of how to teach and not treat another human being as well. Make ish vameis mo yusumas. Murder, manslaughter. A human being who kills another individual, that individual has to be taken to task. The Torah continues, vigonej ish umicharo venimtza biyado mosyumash. If somebody steals, the rules have to be set down. Nimtza biyado mosyumas. Mikalal aviv imo mosyumas. Somebody curses. And somebody slanders, and somebody speaks negatively about one's father and mother. Also, mosumas. The rules of fighting, chiyivun anashim ika ishes reyab evno ve'egrov, the chiyaka ishes avdo masof, I hit my slave or a maidservant. And the halachas go on and continue through all of Parshas Mishpatim. And after the Torah details how I treat another human being, and if I damage another human being, and if I injure, or if I kill another human being, the Torah goes on page 422, how do I treat another person's property, another person's animal? Chayigach shor es ish or es isha. And if I treat a Eved inappropriately, I also can't treat another human being's life, livestock inappropriately. And then it comes to inanimate objects. So when I open a pit and a boar, if I steal somebody's things, and on the Torah continues through Perek Chav Aleph, Perek Chav Beis, and Perek Chav Gimel, these three chapters dealing with the rights, the obligations, and how to treat each other. So therefore, to run a appropriate society, a Torah society, and a civilization that's run according to the Torah, the same stress that we have in terms of how we treat in our relationship with God, Bein Adam L'Makom, the first five commandments, we also need to put a great stress on how we treat other human beings. And therefore, Parshas Mishpatim is the conclusion of Parshas Yisro. It's the conclusion of the Aseres HaDibros. It's the conclusion of Matan Torah. And Matan Torah isn't complete until Parshas Mishpatim is studied, until Parshas Mishpatim is understood, and until Parshas Mishpatim is heard. And therefore, it's only at the end of Parshas Mishpatim that we find the final acceptance of the Torah, the great words of Naaseh V'Nishma. And therefore, that's the midsection of Parshas Sefer Shmos, as we move from Yetzias Mitzrayim and Shmos Ve'eran Bo to Kabbalah Satara in Bishalach Yisro Mishpatim. And if we have those two sections understood, and if we're able to fulfill those two areas, then ultimately the Binyan HaMishkan of Parshas Truma Tetzaveh, Kisisa Vayakal Pekudeh, the ultimate house for God can be built, and we have a place, V'shachanti B'socham, we can dwell there and God will dwell in us, if we're able to live this way, to set up society this way, and to organize and to set things up in this fashion. That is Parshas Mishpatim, wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful week.